إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. This is going to be our third session with the topic أثر القرآن في إصلاح القلوب, the impact or the effect of the Quran in mending the hearts. And previously, in the first two sessions, the Sheikh made some introductory comments to this subject, which we're going to just review quickly for the benefit of the continuity. Well, by the way, let me just say first, in case anybody's coming for the first time, this topic, the impact or the effect of the Quran in the rectification or reformation or reparation or mending of the hearts, is from Sheikh Sulaiman Al-Ruhaili, Hafizahullah, may Allah protect and preserve him, who is a professor at the Islamic University of Medina, and he is also a teacher in Al-Masjid An-Nabawi, the Masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Medina, and he is the Imam and Khatib of Masjid Quba in Al-Medina. So from the comments of the Sheikh that we discussed in the first two sessions, first and foremost, the foundation of this topic is in the statement with the Sheikh, rahimahullah, Allah yahfadhu, may Allah protect and preserve him. He says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the human being to be a khalifa in the earth. Yani, to populate, to settle, to cultivate the earth. وَيَأْمُرَهَا بِأَعْظَمْ الْإِمَارَةِ وَإِمَارَةِ Yani, and also to cultivate the earth with the greatest type of cultivation. And that is none other than the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the first statement that the Shaykh makes, that he puts the human being in the earth to populate, to cultivate, to settle the earth with the greatest type of settlement, and that is the establishment of the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Second statement the Shaykh made, وَجَعَلَ فِي الْإِنسَانِ مُضْغَى, and he has placed in the human being a piece of flesh, which if it is whole, if it is sound, healthy, then the whole body will be whole, sound, and healthy, and if it is corrupted, then the whole body will be corrupted, and it is none other than the heart. Okay, these are the two foundation statements that we covered previously in the first session, that is, that the human being has been placed in the earth by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has been created and placed in this earth with a purpose, and that purpose is to establish a tawheed. And then he says, yani, in reference to this, the human being, there has been placed in the human being a piece of flesh, the heart, which if that piece of flesh, the heart, is sound and whole, the whole body and the actions, the limbs of the human being will be sound, will be healthy, will be whole. And if it is corrupted, then likewise the body, the whole body will be corrupted, the actions of the person will be corrupted. Meaning that the life of the human being, their productivity, their establishment of tawheed, their success in establishing a tawheed is dependent upon the heart. If it is sound or if it is yani sick, corrupted or dead. After this, the Shaykh mentioned that the hearts of two types, those which are healthy and those which are sick. And then he mentioned two hadith which show the great importance, from amongst many ahadith, the great importance of the heart. The first of them is the hadith that's reported by Imam Muslim and others from Abu Hurairah, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ صُورِكُمْ وَأَمْوَالِكُمْ وَلَكِنْ يَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ قُلُوبِكُمْ وَأَعْمَالِكُمْ. That indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not look at your outward appearance, your outward forms, your clothing, your body shape or condition, nor does he look to your wealth, property, belongings, but rather he looks to your hearts and to your deeds. And this is to make us to know that the human being's outward appearance and one's possessions have no great value with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but what yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is concerned with is the condition of the heart, from which is derived the actions of the limbs. And the second hadith that the Shaykh mentions is reported by Imam Ahmed from Anas ibn Malik, and Shaykh al-Albani said that it's Hassan. is the hadith in which the Prophet ﷺ said, لا يستقيم إيمان عبد, يعني that a person's iman will not be upright. حتى يستقيم قلبه, unless and until his heart is upright. Showing the great importance of the heart. If the heart is corrupted, the person's iman will be corrupted. يعني they will not have pure, correct, يعني sound iman. After this, the Shaykh mentions a series of ayat, yani which prove his statement that there's no greater means or way or road to the rectification of the human being than through the Quran. And how could it be otherwise? Yani how could there be something greater than the Quran in mending and repairing and restoring the hearts, when the Quran is the speech of Allah and is that which he has revealed to his most noble, the most noble of the messengers, the seal of the prophets, and the greatest of the awliya of Allah, that is Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he mentioned that the Quran has also been described with descriptions which we discussed in detail in the second session last week. Yani those 10 ayats from amongst many ayats in the Quran which show some of the descriptions, the qualities due to which the Quran is the means of mending, fixing, repairing, restoring, rectification of the heart that is necessary to be whole and sound in order to fulfill the mission for which the human being was placed in the earth, and that is the establishment of At-Tawheed. So from amongst those qualities and descriptions that we mentioned last week is that the Quran was sent down in the pure Arabic language so that the people to whom it was first sent would comprehend it and understand it, yani accept it, follow it, and act upon it. He also mentioned that the Quran was sent down, كِتَابٌ أَنزَلْنَاهُ إِلَيْكَ مُبَارَكٌ لِيَدَّبَّرُوا آيَاتِي, that it was sent down full of blessings so that the people will ponder over its ayat and then take heed to them. And he mentioned that the Quran was sent down full of blessings, فَاتَّبِعُوهُ, therefore it must be followed, وَاتَّقُوا, and taqwa must be observed in reference to that which it contains, لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ, so that perhaps you will achieve, yani the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He also mentioned that, yani from the characteristics of the Quran, which prove that it is the only means of the rectification of the heart, إِنَّ هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ يَهْدِي لِلَّتِي هِيَ أَقْوَمُ, that this Quran guides to that which is most just, most upright. In other ayats from the Quran, he mentioned, yani the effect of the Quran is such, لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشيا متصدعا من خشية الله. If this Quran had been sent down upon a mountain, a hard rock stone mountain, you would have seen it, yani shaking and crumbling out of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he mentioned from the characteristics of the Quran, وَنَزَّلْنَا عَلَيْكَ كِتَابًا الْكِتَابَ تِبْيَانًا لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ, yani that this Quran was sent down as a clarification of every matter that the human being is in need of, and as a huda wa rahma wa bushra lil muslimin, and as a guidance and a mercy and a glad tidings, a good tiding, yani good news for those who worship Allah, who submit and surrender in Islam. He also mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that this book was sent down, لِتُخْرِجَ النَّاسَ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهِمْ, that in order for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by means of the Quran, may remove the people from darkness into light by the permission of their Rabb. And he mentioned other ayats which show that the Quran is a healing, شِفَاءٌ وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ, yani a healing and a mercy for the believers, and it is also a مَوْعِظَةٌ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ وَشِفَاءٌ لِمَا فِي الصُّدُورِ وَهُدَى وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ, and it is a مَوْعِظَةٌ, yani an admonishment, an exhortation from your Rabb, and a healing for what is in the chest, and a guidance and a mercy for the believers. And these are the ayats that we mentioned last week, or these are the qualities or the characteristics of the Quran that the Shaykh mentioned, and we discussed the tafsir, yani brief tafsir of each one of these ayats last week in the previous session, leading up us up to the point here where the Shaykh says, and this is what we're going to talk about today, فالقرآن شفاء من كل داء شفاء لهذه الصدور شفاء للقلوب من كل شيء قبيح، يغسل القلب غسلا ويطهره تطهيرا. That indeed this Quran is a healing for every sickness, every illness, every disease. It is a shifa, a healing for the chest, yani that which the inner part of the human being. It is a shifa, healing for the heart from everything that is qabih, that is yani ugly, filthy, evil. It cleans the heart, a complete cleaning, and it purifies the heart, a complete purification. إلا أن أثر القرآن أيها الأخوة في إصلاح القلوب مشروط بشرط عظيم. And here, this is the point, this is our topic for tonight, that the Quran is a healing, it's a rahma, it's a mawa'idha, يعني an exhortation, an admonition, يعني it's a tibyan, clarification, لكل شيء. It is the means of bringing people out of darkness into light. Yet, that effect, the impact of the Quran in terms of rectification and purification and yani fixing, mending the hearts has a great condition. Yani a condition that must be met in order for the Quran to have this effect on the hearts of the human beings. مَشْرُوطٌ بِالْمَحَلِّ الْقَابِلِ Yani the condition, the main condition, the first condition that the Shaykh mentions here, that is a condition for the Quran to have this effect on the hearts of the human being, is that there must be a receptacle, mahal qabil, yani that is, yani open to receive the benefit of the Quran, that is inclined to receive the benefit of the Quran. It must have a receptive container, vehicle, yani to receive the good that the Quran contains. And this is as Our Rabb subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, in Surah Al-Qaf, 50th Surah, 37th Ayat, إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَذِكْرَ لِمَنْ كَانَ لَهُ قَلْبٌ أَوْ أَلْقَ السَّمَعَ وَهُوَ الشَّهِيدٌ Yani that indeed in this Quran and what it contains is a dhikr, a reminder, an exhortation, an admonition for who? For everybody? لِمَنْ كَانَ لَهُ قَلْبٌ For the one who has a heart, a certain kind of heart, a heart that has iman, a heart that is intelligent, that is receptive. أَوْ أَلْقَ السَّمَعَ And it is also a dhikra, a reminder, for the one who gives ear, yani who is listens attentively, وَهُوَ الشَّهِيدِ And pays heed to that which he hears. Okay, this ayat, I just want to mention briefly some commentary from Shaykh Abdul Rahman Sa'di, rahimahullah, in his tafsir of this particular ayat, yani Surah Al-Qaf, 50th Surah, 37th ayat, he says, إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَذِكْرَ لِمَنْ كَانَ لَهُ قَلْبٌ And this is the core, yani, of our discussion tonight, that indeed in the Quran is a reminder, an exhortation, an admonition for the one who has a heart. What kind of heart? A قَلْبٌ عَظِيمٌ حَيٌّ ذَكِيٌّ Zakiyun, and a heart that is great, that is living, that is intelligent, that is purified, that is pure. A pure, intelligent, living, magnificent heart. Yani a heart that is whole, that is sound, that is filled with iman. This Quran is a reminder for the one who has this kind of heart. Not a sick heart, not a dead heart, but a living, intelligent, pure heart. The Shaykh says, فَهَذَا This person who has this kind of heart, إِذَا وَرَدَ عَلَيْهِ شَيْءٌ مِّنْ آيَاتِ الْقُرْآنِ تَذَكَّرَ بِهَا وَانْتَفَعَ وَارْتَفَعَ So the person who has this kind of heart, when the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pass by this person, when they hear, when they recite, when they read the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then they are reminded. They take heed, they benefit, and they elevate. The heart that is living, that is intelligent, that is pure. Then the Shaykh says, yani from this ayat, وَإِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَذِكْرَ لِمَنْ لَهُ قَلْبٌ أَوْ Or, the one who has this type of heart,
or alqa sama wa huwa shaheed, or the one who listens attentively while he is, yani his heart is mindful, present, yani heedful of what he hears. وَكَذَلِكَ مَنْ أَلْقَى سَمَعَهُ إِلَىٰ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ. And likewise, the Qur'an is a dhikr, a reminder for the one who listens attentively to the ayat of Allah. وَاسْتَمَعَهَا إِسْتِمَاعًا يَسْتَرْشِدْ بِهِ. And likewise, yani the one who gives ear, listens attentively, with a listening, he listens to it with a listening, the type of listening in which the person is listening, seeking to be guided by what they hear. Not listening for the purpose of entertainment, to hear nice sounds, but rather listening with the ear that is attentive, seeking out guidance from what one hears. This person, for this person also, the Quran will be a reminder, will be an exhortation and an admonition. The person who what? Alqa sama'ahu. And he is, yani, وَقَلْبُهُ shaheed, and his heart is present, attentive. A حَاضِر. His heart is حَاضِر, attentive, present. فَهَذَا لَهُ أَيْضًا ذِكْرًا وَمَوْعِذَةٌ وَالشِّفَاءُ وَهُدَى. Then likewise for this person, who listens attentively, with a listening, seeking to be guided by what they hear, and their heart is present, conscious, aware, heedful, then such a person will also benefit by the Qur'an, by being reminded. And the Qur'an will be a maw'idha, an exhortation and an admonishment. And it will be shifa, a healing for the sicknesses of the heart and the human being in general. And it will be a guidance. أما المعرض الذي لم يلقي لم يصغي سمعه إلى الآيات فهذا لا تفيده شيئا. Then as far as the one who turns away, who doesn't listen attentively to the ayat of Allah, who doesn't pay heed to the ayat of Allah, then this one will not benefit at all. لأنه لا قبول عنده. Because he doesn't, yani he's not receptive to accept what he hears. وَلَا تَقْتَضِي حِكْمَةُ اللَّهِ هِدَايَةَ مَنْ هَذَا وَصْفُهُ وَنَعَدُهُ. And likewise, not only he is not receptive to what he is hearing, but also the hikmah, the wisdom of Allah does not necessitate the guidance of the one who is described like this. Yani who didn't listen, who didn't open their heart, who was not receptive, yani to the ayat of Allah. Okay, this is the ayat that the Shaykh mentions as the basis of there being a condition in order for a person to benefit from the Qur'an. In order for the heart to be mended, to be repaired, to be restored, to be fixed, to be rectified, there is a condition. And that condition is that the person has a whole sound heart of iman, or the person listens attentively and their heart is also attentive, yani seeking guidance from what one hears. The Shaykh says, فَهَذَا شَرْطٌ لَا بُدَّ مِنْهُ لِكَيْ يُؤَثِّرُ الْقُرْآنَ فِي قَلْبِ الْإِنسَانِ. So this is a condition that must be met in order for the Qur'an to have an impact or an effect on the heart of the human being. فَلَا بُدَّ مِنْ قَلْبْ حَاضِرٌ. Yani there must be a heart that has, yani that is present, that is attentive, that is heedful. وَلَا بُدَّ مِنْ سَمْعٍ مُسْخِي. And it is a necessity that there must be attentive listening. وَلَا بُدَّ يَكُونَ الْإِنسَانِ شَهِيدًا. And it is a necessity that the human being be, yani, fully attentive, yani, heedful to what one hears. It is for this reason that Al-Imam Al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, says concerning this Qur'an, لَا يَجِدُ طَعْمَهُ إِلَّا مَنْ آمَنَ بِهِ. That no one will experience the taste, the sweetness of this Qur'an, except the one who believes in it. Except the one who has in his heart iman. The one who has a heart that is, yani, properly fit, receptive and ready to accept, yani, that which the Qur'an came with. A living heart, an intelligent heart, a pure heart. Al-Qur'an lahu halawa. القرآن له لذة عظيمة. The Quran has a sweetness. It has a delightful taste. لكن طعمه لا ينال إلا لمن آمن به وألقى السمع له وكان قلبه حاضرا شهيدا. يعني the Quran has a sweetness, no doubt. It has a delightful taste, but this taste will not be realized except by the one who believes in the Quran, except by the one who gives ear to the Quran, except by the one whose heart is present, yani heedful to what one hears. Here the Shaykh yani mentions the saying of Ibn al-Qayyim concerning yani what is necessary in order for the human being to benefit from the Quran. And this is critical for everyone yani who believes in the Quran and who hopes to benefit from the Quran. If a person wants to know, as I was asked recently, if a person wants to know, how can I benefit from the Quran in order to rectify my condition, to improve my condition, to remove my yani unacceptable behavior, my sinful behavior or whatever, how can I benefit from the Quran? Well, Al-Imam Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah says, إِذَا أَرَدْتَ الْإِنْتِفَى بِالْقُرْآنِ. If any one of you wants to benefit from the Quran, you want to benefit from the Quran, فَأَجْمِ قَلْبَكَ إِنْدَ تِلَاوَتِهِ وَسَمَاعِهِ. The first thing he said what? أَجْمِ قَلْبَكَ. يعني gather, collect the whole of your heart, total presence of heart and mind, at the time of reciting the Quran, at the time of listening to the Quran. يعني bring your whole heart into يعني into this activity. Yani the every aspect of the heart. Yani the heart shouldn't be going in different directions. Rather the whole of the heart needs to be collected. The whole of the heart needs to be gathered at the time of listening to the Quran or at the time of reciting to Quran. وَأَلْقِي سَمَعَكَ. And also give ear to what you hear. Yani meaning attentive listening. Not being distracted by other things, but listening attentively. The heart being present and the ear listening attentively. وَحْضُرْ حُضُورَ مَنْ يُخَاطِبُهُ مَنْ تَكَلَّمَ بِهِ سُبْحَانَهُ مِنْهُ إِلَيْهِ فَإِنْهُ خِطَابٌ مِنْهُ لَكَ عَلَى لِسَانِ رَسُولِهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. Ibn Qayyim says, gather your heart together at the time of reciting or listening to the Quran and give ear to that which you hear or are reciting. And be present, yani the heart and mind be present. What type of presence? Hudura man yukhatibuhu man takallama bihi subhanahu minhu ilayhi. Yani the presence, the consciousness, the attentiveness of one man yukhatibuhu, who is being addressed. The one who is being addressed by who? By man takallama bihi subhanahu, by the one who spoke the words of this Quran, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani the presence of heart and mind, the presence, the attentiveness of the one who is being addressed directly by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, minhu ilayhi, from Allah to that person. فَإِنُّهُ خِطَابٌ. For indeed the Quran is a speech, minhu laka, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to you, for you, عَلَى لِسَانِ رَسُولِهِ, on the tongue of his messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Okay, this is a critical statement here of Ibn Qayyim. Everybody needs to analyze this, reflect upon it, ponder over it. Yani, put yourself into this picture and see how you measure up, what you need to do, and how you need to fix your situation if you want to benefit from the Quran. You have to have the presence, the total presence of heart and mind, listening attentively, and the presence of the one who knows that he's being addressed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly. The Shaykh said, Allahu Akbar. هَلْ إِسْتَشْعَرْنَا هَذَا هَلْ إِسْتَشْعَرْنَا أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ يُكَلِّمُنَا بِهَذَا الْقُرْآنِ. Yani, do we feel this? What Ibn al-Qayyim is saying here. Do we feel this? Yani, do we have this feeling, this consciousness, that we are actually being addressed by Allah personally? Do we feel that Allah is speaking to us with this Qur'an? I mean, are we conscious when we are hearing the Quran or reciting the Quran that this is the speech of Allah, yani directly from Him to you and I. وَمَا أَعَظَمُ أَثَرُ هَذَا لَوْ أَيْقَنَّا بِهِ تَمَامَ الْعِقَانِ.
And oh, how great, how magnificent would be the effect, or is the effect, of this Qur'an upon us if we had total, absolute certainty that this is the speech of Allah speaking to you and I directly. After this, the Shaykh mentions another statement, the statement of Ibn Qutaybah, rahimahullah, one of the great scholars of the people of Hadith, people of Sunnah, in which he also addresses this issue of how can a person benefit from the Qur'an. Okay? In his statement he said, إِذَا حَصَلَ الْمُؤَثِّرُ وَهُوَ الْقُرْآنُ. That if the thing that has an effect in mending the hearts, if it is present, that is the Qur'an. وَالْمَحَلَّ الْقَابِلُ وَهُوَ الْقَلْبُ الْحَيِّ. And there's a يعني receptacle, a ready recipient that is disposed to hearing, to receiving, to accepting this Qur'an. If that is also present, meaning the living heart. وَوُجِدَ الشَّرْطُ وَهُوَ الْإِصْغَاءُ. And the condition for the effectiveness of the Qur'an in mending the heart is fulfilled, that is, attentive listening. وَانْتَفَى الْمَانِعُ. And also, يعني the thing that would obstruct or would prevent the person from benefiting is absent, is not existent, is not present. And that is, يعني the thing that prevents a person from benefiting from the healing, curative effect of the Qur'an is اشتغال القلب وظهوله عن مانع الخطاب وانصرافه عنه إلى شيء آخر. يعني the mania that prevents a person from benefiting from the Qur'an is that the heart is busied, preoccupied, or distracted from the meaning of this speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Qur'an. Or the heart is turning away from the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Qur'an to something other than that. If the mu'athir, the thing that will affect the heart, the Qur'an is present, and there is a يعني ready recipient, that is a living heart to receive the effect of the Qur'an, and the condition is fulfilled of listening attentively, and the prohibitive factor is absent, that is, that the heart is not busy with something else, the heart is not distracted with something else, the heart is not turning away from the meanings that came in the Qur'an to something else. In that case, the effect of the Qur'an, حصل الأثر وهو الانتفاع والتذكر. Then indeed, the benefit and the reminder that comes with the Qur'an will occur. So the Qur'an is present, but the heart needs to be ready and receptive. And the ear, the attentive listening, one must exert oneself to listen attentively, and we must make every effort to avoid the thing that will prevent us from benefiting from the Qur'an, and that is that the heart is occupied with something else. The heart is distracted and turned away from the speech by some distraction, whether internally or externally. The heart, the mind is distracted by sounds, by images, by movements, by thoughts, you know, that in the environment around us, or from shaitan. Okay, here the Shaykh, after mentioning these two statements from Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah, and Ibn Qutaybah, rahimahullah, he says, many of the people are saying, إِنَّا نَسْمَى الْقُرْآنِ وَلَكِنْ لَا يَحْصُلُ لَنَا خُشُوعٌ وَلَا يَحْصُلُ لَنَا تَذَكُّرٌ. Many of the people are saying, we listen to the Qur'an, but we do not achieve al-khushu', yani this state of humiliation, state of humbleness, state of yani a person being submissive and in awe of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't feel this occurring for us. We don't yani feel that we are achieving that remembrance or that reminder that the Qur'an
is supposed to bring. وَمَا ذَٰلِكَ إِلَّا لِتَقْصِيرٍ مِنْهُمْ. And the only reason for this, that a person is listening to the Qur'an, and they are not achieving al-khushu', and they are not being reminded by the Qur'an, is due to التقصير, يعني from them, that they themselves have fallen short. Not al-qusur, not that they are defective or incapable of benefiting from the Qur'an, but they themselves haven't done what was necessary in order for them to benefit from the Qur'an. Otherwise, the speech of Allah, its effect on the hearts will definitely occur if the person yani does what they're supposed to do. If they listen attentively and have presence of heart and mind, yani like the one who knows with certainty that this is the speech of Allah addressed from him to you. The Shaykh says, yani this is due to what? The taqsir, the shortcoming, falling short of the people who haven't fulfilled the conditions to benefit from the Qur'an. Otherwise, the speech of Allah and its effect on the human being is guaranteed. Yani, if there's a receptive vehicle, yani a living heart, and the condition of listening attentively and the prohibition of not being distracted or occupied with other things from the meaning of the Qur'an, if all of this is in place, then the effect of the Qur'an is guaranteed. Many of the people are reading the speech of Allah, but their hearts are somewhere else, munsarifa, turned away from the speech that they are reading or reciting or listening to. Indeed, the tongue may be speaking, yani pronouncing the expressions, the words of the Qur'an, but the heart is wandering elsewhere. So how is it that this heart can be affected by the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when the heart is not present, is not receptive, yani to that which one is listening to? So it is incumbent, the Shaykh says, incumbent, فَيَنْبَغِي عَلَيْنَا أَيُّهَا الْإِخْوَةِ أَن نُعَالِجَ قُلُوبَنَا عِنْدَ تِلَاوَةِ كَلَامِ رَبِّنَا بِأَن نَحْرِصَ تَمَامَ الْحِرْصِ. Yani, so it is incumbent upon every one of us, brothers and sisters, it is incumbent, أَن نُعَالِجَ قُلُوبَنَا, that we, yani, treat, cultivate, yani, apply ourselves to making sure that the heart is ready and receptive at the time of reciting the speech of our Rabb. That we are diligent and eager, having complete diligence in this matter. We must apply ourselves, yani, treat our hearts, attend to our hearts at the time of reciting the speech of our Rabb, and have every diligence with the following matters. Number one, أن تكون قلوبنا حيا مستعدة لقبول الخير في كلام ربنا سبحانه وتعالى. يعني that our hearts, we must يعني make every effort to make sure that our hearts are alive and that they are ready to receive the khair in the speech of our Rabb subhanahu wa ta'ala. We must look at ourselves and look at our hearts and make sure that we are attentive to this affair, that the heart is ready to receive the khair. وَأَن تَكُونُ أَسْمَعُنَا مُسْغِيًا مُسْغِيًا. يعني, and we must also make sure that our hearing, yani, is attentive, that we are listening attentively. وَأَن تَكُونُ قُلُوبَنَا حَاضِرًا, and also that our hearts are present, yani, ready to receive, and yani, listening carefully to that which we are reciting or listening to. وَأَن نُجَاهِدَ أَنفُسَنَا عَنِ الْإِنصِرَافِ بِالشَّوَاغِلِ وَالتَّفْكِيرِ الَّذِي يَحْرِسُ عَلَيْهِ الشَّيْطَانِ. And we must also strive against ourselves to prevent ourselves from turning away or being distracted by the distractions and the thoughts which Shaitan is so eager to overcome us with. This requires an effort. A person must attend to their heart. Make sure that the heart is ready, the heart is attentive, the heart is present, and that the ears are attentive, listening carefully. We must make an effort to strive to be prepared to receive this khair from the Qur'an, and we must also make every effort to prevent ourselves from turning away or being distracted by the distractions and the thoughts that come from shaitan. The Shaykh says, let me look at this time. The Shaykh says, Wallahi ma bada'a muslimun yatlu al-Qur'an illa ja'a shaytan yudhakkiruhu. He said, I swear by Allah that a Muslim does not begin to recite the Qur'an except that shaitan comes and begins to remind him. Whoever is not aware of this, yani, is just unmindful. Shaitan definitely will come and he will remind you. And if you are somewhat attentive and mindful, you will know that what the Shaykh is saying here is real. This is very real. The shaitan will come when you try to recite or listen to the Qur'an. When you try to be attentive to the Qur'an, shaitan will come to distract you. He will say, Udhkur kaza, Udhkur kaza, remember this and remember that. He'll remind you of things that you had forgotten about, that might be of importance to you. And by him reminding you of that, your thoughts will wander to those things and away from the Qur'an. He will say, Ifal kaza, do this. Fakir fi kaza, think about this. And he will tell you while you are in the salat or out of the salat, reciting the Qur'an or listening to the Qur'an, remember this and remember that and do this. Don't forget to do this when the salat is over. When you finish from here, don't forget you have to do such and such. Think about this. Remember, did you forget about such and so? Al-Ummah tu'ani min kaza. The Muslims, the Muslim Ummah is suffering from such and such. An-nas bihajatin ila kaza. The people are in need of such and such and so and so. Tazakkara min al-ilm kaza. He will even remind you of issues of knowledge, of a hadith of such and such, or a principle, yani, that you studied or you learned. He will remind you of those things in order to get you distracted with thinking about that and turning away from the listening to the Qur'an attentively and benefiting from it. Shaitan will definitely come to you. And again, I will say, if you are not aware of this, then for sure it's due to your heedlessness, because whoever is paying attention will know that shaitan is trying to distract you at every turn. Why is he doing this? In order to turn a person away from listening to the speech, yani, an sama'i kalamillahi haqqan, from listening with the listening that Allah has a right to do, yani, that we listen with. An tadabbur, tadabbur kalamillahi sidqan. So he will turn us away from reflecting or pondering over the speech of Allah sincerely. لأن إبليس يعلم علم اليقين, because Iblis, he knows with certain knowledge that the Muslim لو سمع كلام الله وأصغى لكلام الله, that the Muslim, if the Muslim listens to the speech of Allah and listens attentively, لاستعصى عليه أيما إصيانا, then he will reject and he will resist and he will oppose any type of, yani, disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَمَا اسْتَطَاعَ الشَّيْطَانُ أَن يُوقِعَهُ فِي الْعِصْيَانِ. And shaitan will not be able to cause that person to fall into sin. If what? He knows that if the person listens to the Qur'an attentively, with sincerity, and ponders and reflects upon it, then it will be difficult to get that person to commit sin. The Shaykh says, at the end of this point, before he goes to a new point, he says, صلاح القلوب أيها الأخوة يكون بالتخلي وتحلي بالتخلية, I'm sorry, بالتخلية وتحلية, يعني that the صلاح, the righteousness, the uprightness, the piety of the hearts, the صلاح, the piety of the hearts, يكون بتخلية وتحلية, يعني بالتخلية, يعني removing something, وتحليه, and replacing, adorning oneself with something else. And then he explains what he means by that, بتخليتي القلب من الفساد, removing from the heart corruption, sin, يعني evil, وتحليته بالصلاة, and replacing it, adorning oneself with piety, righteousness, rightness, uprightness. Yani, that the hearts, the correctness, the rightness, the righteousness of the hearts require two things. At-takhliya, removing from the heart, yani, the evils that are there, the corruption and falsehood. Wa-tahliya, and replacing it, adorning and beautifying oneself, yani, with righteousness and piety and uprightness. Here, before we go to the next topic, we're going to just take a minute and look at this particular point that the Shaykh has mentioned here. Yani, very, very important point, that is the principle of takhliya and tahliya. Some of you may be aware of the essay of Shaykh Abdul Razak, the son of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad, حفظهم الله, عشر قواعد في تزكية النفس, yani 10 principles, foundations in the purification of the soul. The fifth principle that the Shaykh mentions there, after mentioning very, very important principles, is this principle, التزكية تخلية وتحلية, that purification, تزكية, requires two things, تخلية, yani removal of something, وَتَحْلِيَ, and replacing, adorning oneself with something else. So here, yani, the Shaykh mentions this topic in some detail, and I think it's worth, yani, stopping here and going over what he has mentioned here before we go on, because, yani, the rectification of the human being, the purification and reparation, the mending of the heart, does require, yani, consciousness, awareness, and knowledge of this principle or this process, yani, of mending the heart, which requires two things. First, removing the evils from it, the corruption, and then replacing it, yani, with good and khair and, yani, righteousness and piety. So the Shaykh, he says, and I'm going to go through it a little bit quickly, he says, indeed, the reality of tazkiyah, of purification, it is takhliyat al-nafs awwalan, yani removing the evils first, bitathiruha بتطهيرها عن الرذائل والمعاصي والذنوب ثم تحليتها بعد ذلك بفعل الطاعات والقربات. That purification requires first the removal yani of evils by purifying yani oneself from lowly and despicable characteristics and behaviors and actions and acts of disobedience and sinning, and then replacing that, yani adorning and beautifying oneself after that, secondly, with acts of obedience to Allah and things which bring one near to Allah. So this is a twofold process. The first part of the process is removing the evil characteristics and then replacing them with good characteristics. And this is as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah At-Tawbah, 9th Surah, 103rd ayah, خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً تُطَحِّرُهُمْ وَتُزَكِّيهِمْ بِهَا وَصَلِّ عَلَيْهِمْ. Yani, Allah orders the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to take from their wealth sadaqah, charity. In order to what? To tahhiruhum, yani to purify them from the evils. Wa tuzakkihim, and then to sanctify them, yani to beautify them, to make them upright, yani with good qualities. Due to this sadaqah. Wa salli alayhim, and invoke Allah, yani supplicate to Allah, yani for them. In this saying, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, كُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً تُطَحِّرُهُمْ وَتُزَكِّيهِمْ. These are the two processes that we're talking about here, تَطْهِيرُ وَتَزْكِيَةً. Yani the Shaykh says, تُطَحِّرُهُمْ, in this saying, is an indication of the station of تَخْلِيَةً. Yani removing the سَيِّئَات, the evils, بِتَطْهِرُهُمْ مِنَ الذُّنُوبِ, by purifying them from sins. And in the saying of Allah, وَتُزَكِّيهِمْ, is an indication of the station of تَحْلِيَةً, yani the adorning or the beautification, بِالْفَضَائِلْ, with virtuous deeds, وَالْحَسَنَاتِ, and good deeds. وَالتَّقْدِيمَ التَّطْهِيرِ عَلَى التَّزْكِيَةِ مِنْ بَابْ تَقْدِيمِ التَّخْلِيَةِ عَلَى التَّحْلِيَةِ. Yani, so in this ayat, the mentioning of تَطْهِيرِ first before تَزْكِيَةِ, yani تُطَحِّرُهُمْ وَتُزَكِّيهِمْ, yani the mentioning of tathir first before tazkiyah is the same as the precedence of takhliyah before tahliyah, yani the removal of sins before the adornment with that which is good. So it is of necessity that whoever wants to purify himself, that he must first of all remove from himself sins and bad deeds which corrupt the heart and screen the heart, prevent the heart from al-nur al-hidayah wal-iman. Yani these sins and the corrupt behavior and evil deeds, yani corrupt the heart, and likewise they make a hijab, a screen or a shield that prevents the person from being reached by the light of guidance and iman. So the first thing a person has to do is remove the evil behavior and the sinful behavior and the corrupt behavior before yani they can be adorned with good behavior. And this is as the Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith, that indeed the person, the abd, when they commit a sin, then a black dot is placed upon their heart. And if they refrain, withdraw from that, and they seek forgiveness of Allah, and they repent to Allah, then their heart would be polished and cleaned. But if they go back to those sins, then the blackness over their heart will be increased until it overcomes their heart, until it covers and consumes their heart. And this is the ran, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah Al-Mutaffifin, 83rd Surah, 14th Ayat, كَلَّا بَلْ رَانَ عَلَى قُلُوبِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. Nay, but on their hearts is a ran, yani the covering of sins and evil deeds and filth, due to yani which they used to earn. Yani the ran is a covering over their hearts, the blackness covering their hearts due to what they earned from their evil deeds and sins. The Shaykh says, after this, yani removal of sinful behavior, yani which corrupts the heart and prevents the heart from the light of guidance and iman, the second step, he says, ثُمَّ يُجَاهِدُ نَفْسَهُ عَلَى الْإِسْتِكْثَارِ مِنَ الصَّالِحَاتِ الَّتِي تُزَكُّ بِهَا نَفْسُهُ. Then the person must strive and struggle and make every effort to increase the salihat, righteous deeds, which are the means through which one is purified. And this is as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, yani in Surah Al-Anqabut, 29th Surah, 69th Ayat, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمَا الْمُحْسِنِينَ. That verily those who strive, struggle, fina in our cause, لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ, then we will guide them definitely, subulana, to our paths, all types of paths of good and righteousness, وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمَعَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ, and indeed, certainly Allah is with those who do good. Yani meaning that what? That when a person wants to purify themselves, then the first thing they have to do is leave off evil behavior, sin and corruption. And then they must increase in the doing of good deeds, righteous deeds, acts of obedience, things that bring one near to Allah, which are the means of purification, adornment, sanctification of the heart and the soul. And they must strive in doing so, in doing good deeds, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then guides that person to other good deeds, and indeed Allah is with, yani, the muhsineen, meaning He is with them in helping them and aiding them and supporting them and defending them and protecting them. Finally, yani Sheikh Abdul Razak says concerning this topic of takhliya and tahliya, yani with kha and with ha, he said that Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, Sheikh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah said, التزكية وإن كان أصله النماء والبركة وزيادة الخير فإنما تحصل بإزالة الشر فلهذا صار التزكية يجمع هذا وهذا. That the process of purification of the souls, purification of the hearts, even though تزكية originally its original meaning, its root meaning is النماء, growth, والبركة, blessings, وَزِيَادَةُ الْخَيْرِ, increase of good. This is the original meaning of tazkiya. Yani something increasing, growing, increase of blessings and khair. In spite of that being its original meaning, it is only achieved through first izalat al-shar, removing evil first. And for this reason, at tazkiya, yani combines between this and that. Yani it combines between removing evil and adorning oneself, replacing that evil with good. Yani, this and that meaning, التخليه with kha and التحليه with ha. The Shaykh closes with the tafsir or the brief statement of Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di, rahimahullah, in his tafsir of the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, بَلِ اللَّهُ يُزَكِّي مَن يَشَاءُ. But rather, indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sanctifies, makes righteous, beautifies whomever He wills. يعني بل الله يزكي من يشاء. شيخ عبد الرحمن السعدي said يزكي من يشاء means a بالإيمان والعمل الصالح, that he purifies whomever he wills by iman in the hearts and righteous deeds on the limb, بالتخلي عن الأخلاق الرذيلة وتحلي بالصفات الجميلة. يعني that Allah purifies the person يعني through iman and righteous deeds by first تخلي عن الأخلاق الرذيلة يعني by removing the despicable, vile, low characteristics, qualities and acts, وتحلي بالصفات الجميلة, and then adorning and beautifying one, يعني replacing those evil deeds with الصفات الجميلة, with beautiful characteristics which are prescribed يعني in our deen, that is like mercy and forgiveness and compassion and honesty and charity and prayer and fasting, among other of the qualities and characteristics that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prescribed for us. This is the end of what Shaykh Abdul Razak said. And I don't know, we still have a few minutes left. Perhaps we'll look at just one more topic, and that is, yani the Shaykh here turns, after mentioning this principle of takhliya and tahliya, that in order for the purification process to be complete, it requires removing one's evil deeds and evil characteristics and replacing them with good deeds and characteristics. The Shaykh says, وَأَعَظَمُ أَثَرِ الْقُرْآنِ فِي الْقُلُوبِ إِصْلَاحًا أَثْرُهُ فِي تَحْقِيقِ التَّوْهِيدِ وَالْبَرَاءَةِ مِنَ الشِّرْكِ وَأَهْلِهِ. يعني that the greatest impact or effect of the Qur'an in terms of rectification or purification of mending of the hearts is its impact or its effect in realizing Tawheed and declaring oneself to be free, freeing oneself from a shirk and the people of shirk. Yani that the Quran, the impact or the effect of the Quran on the hearts, on the rectification and purification of the hearts, yani the greatest effect of all the effects that it has on the heart of the human being in rectifying it is its effect in yani the Quran, its effect in establishing, realizing, achieving a tawheed, singling out Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the rights that are exclusively His, yani to be worshipped, to be obeyed, to be loved, and so on, alone, uniquely, different from any other thing in the creation. The establishment of Tawheed, and also the establishment of Al-Bara'ah min Ash-Shirki wa Ahlihi, yani freeing oneself completely from Shirk, joining anything or associating anything with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and freeing oneself from the people of shirk. So the most noble of all the sciences of the Qur'an, without exception, is ilm al-tawheed. Yani the greatest effect that the Qur'an has in rectification of the hearts is in establishing a tawheed. And the greatest of all the sciences of the Qur'an, without exception, is the knowledge of a tawheed, and the knowledge of what belongs to Allah, of sifat al-kamal, the characteristics and the qualities of perfection. فَإِذَا مَرَّ عَلَى الْقَلْبِ الْآيَاتِ فِي تَوْهِيدِ اللَّهِ وَأَسْمَائِهِ وَصِفَاتِهِ وَاسْتَشْعَرَ الْقَلْبِ مَعَانِي هَذِهِ الصِّفَاتِ أَثْمَرَ ذَلِكَ فِي قَلْبِهِ صَلَاحًا عَظِيمًا وَإِقْبَالًا عَلَى الْخَيْرِ عَظِيمًا. Yani, so whenever the ayat of the Tawheed of Allah and the names of Allah and the sifat of Allah pass by the heart of the human being, yani when a person becomes conscious and aware, hears, listens, and reads the ayat of the Tawheed of Allah, and the names of Allah that are mentioned in the Qur'an, and the characteristics of Allah that are mentioned in the Qur'an, and the heart, yani istash'ara, is conscious, aware of the meanings of these characteristics of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the fruit or the result of this is that, yani is the great effect of, yani, salahan, yani rectification or purification, uprightness of the heart. Yani the fruit of the hearing or the listening and the pondering over the ayats of Tawheed of Allah and the names of Allah and the sifat of Allah, while the heart is conscious of these meanings, is that it brings to the heart a form of, yani a great amount of rectification or uprightness. وَإِقْبَالًا عَلَى الْخَيْرِ عَظِيمٍ. and also that the person begins to apply themselves to give attention and concern and have interest in doing good to a great extent. And when this happens, when the heart, yani, is attentive and applies itself to these ayat of at-tawheed and the sifat of Allah and the asma of Allah, and when the heart understands these ayats with the proper intended understanding, what Allah intended one to understand from these meanings, and the person, yani, confirms this sifat for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a way, ala wajhin yaliqu bijalalihi, in the manner that is befitting of the glory and majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, امتلأ قلبه من معرفة الله سبحانه وتعالى وامتلأ قلبه حبا لله سبحانه وتعالى وأيقن أنه لا معبود حق إلا الله سبحانه وتعالى فيمتلئ صلاحا وخيرا وطمأنينة. يعني so whenever the heart gives full attention to these ayat and understands them in the way that is intended by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and affirms these sifat for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the way, yani, that is suitable and befitting of His majesty and His glory, then the heart then will be filled with acquaintance and knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the heart would be filled with love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the person would become certain that there is nothing which deserves or has the right to be worshipped except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in this way, the heart will be filled with, yani, righteousness and goodness and tranquility. Yani, so that the heart, yani, being aware and being conscious and coming into contact with the ayat of tawheed in the Quran and the asma and sifat of Allah, and being conscious of their meanings and understanding them in the way that is intended, and affirming them for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a way that is suitable to His majesty, will lead to the heart being filled with knowledge of Allah, consciousness of Allah, awareness of Allah, love of Allah, and one would then become certain that there's no one and nothing that has the right to be worshipped except Allah. This, in and of itself, will fill the heart with righteousness and goodness and tranquility. The Shaykh says finally, so the heart, concerning this effect, impact of the Quran in rectifying the heart by the establishment of Tawheed, he said, therefore the heart, لا سلامة له ولا صلاح له إلا بتوحيد رب العالمين. So the heart would not be safe, and the heart would not be upright, righteous, except by the Tawheed of the رب العالمين, the Lord of all the worlds. So to the extent that بقدر ما مع الإنسان من صدق التوحيد, to the extent that a person has sincerity in this Tawheed, and سلامة الاعتقاد, and soundness of عقيدة, to the extent that a person has sincerity in the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and soundness of correct عقيدة, to that extent the person, their inner being, their صدر and their قلب would be safe, and their heart would be upright and righteous. Yani, to the same extent that the person has, yani, correct عقيدة and soundness of a Tawheed, then this in turn will cause the heart to be upright and to be saved and to be righteous. And this is because the heart, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created it for it to know, to recognize its creator, and to love its creator, and to have tawheed of its creator. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would be the most beloved more than anyone or anything else. And one's hope would be in Allah more than in anyone or anything else. And that Allah would be more lofty, yani, to that person more than anyone and anything else. فَإِذَا تَحَقَّقَ هَذَا الْمَقْصُودُ فِي الْقَلْبِ حَصَلَ لَهُ الْخَيْرُ وَحَصَلَتْ لَهُ السَّعَادَةُ وَحَصَلَتْ لَهُ الْتُمَأَنِينَةُ. And therefore, yani, when this maqsood, this, yani, hadaf, this goal or objective is achieved, when it is realized, yani, when the person knows their creator and has love for their creator and establishes the tawheed of their creator, when this happens, when Allah becomes the most beloved to a person, and one's hope is in Allah more than anything or anyone else, and Allah is the most lofty and majestic, When this is realized, then the حصل له الخير, then the person will achieve goodness and they will achieve السعادة, يعني good fortune, well-being, يعني a place in Jannah, and they will achieve طمأنينة, tranquility, contentment and rest. Okay, we're going to stop here with this, and next week inshallah we're going to look at some of the other effects or the impact of the Quran on the heart of the human being and on the human being overall. Yani the heart of the human being being the source of correctness of actions and correctness of thoughts and so on. So inshallah next week we're going to look at the second thing that the Shaykh mentions, in addition to yani the heart being refined and rectified and mended and repaired by the establishment of Tawheed. A great impact also on the heart would be to knowing the messengers of Allah and knowing the people of righteousness and the people of evil and the distinction between them, and yani iman and righteous deeds and so on. Inshallah, in the next session, بإذن الله تعالى, we're going to take the following topics. With this, let me just say in closing that as we are reading through the Quran, let us take a good look at the ayat of At-Tawheed and the ayat of the names of Allah and the sifat of Allah, reflecting upon their meanings, affirming their meanings, being conscious of yani how they affect us in our life. Yani the more a person reflects on these ayat, then the more a person will come to know Allah, and therefore the more they would love Allah and glorify Allah and be obedient to Allah. So it is incumbent upon us to reflect on these ayat as we are reading in the last days of this month of Ramadan. Yani the whatever we read from the Quran, let us concentrate on their meanings and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help in pondering over their meanings, accepting them in our heart, applying them in our lives, and trying to retain consciousness of them throughout our day and our night, during Ramadan and after Ramadan, throughout our lives. Indeed, success is with Allah alone. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.